Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What's going on, everybody? We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 110. We're out of the single-digit hundreds now. And we're getting feedback from there. But we're Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina in Underground Studios with you tonight. As always, show presented by Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, brother?
Not much. Not much at all, honestly. Just, as I say, another day, another dollar.
Have a couple farewells to get to.
Yeah.
Today, got some Sixers injury updates. Just squeaked by the Pelicans the last time we talked with you guys here, and the Flyers won the Stadium Series, which you got to go at. So
yeah.
You got to experience all of that from inside the stadium. I got to experience from outside. And we're also on day number, like, 5,497,160.348 of number 34 watch, so.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I think we shouldn't even mention Harper.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about him later. Stadium Series was amazing. Best sports event I've ever been to. It was also, like, one of the best games I've ever been to. It was actually crazy. Like, when we walked up, I don't know what happened to this guy. And I haven't, like, heard anything since, so I guess, like, he was fine, but there's a Penguins fan like knocked out cold out front of Xfinity Live when we were walking up to the link. Looked to be in some serious distress, but insane game. Gritty like came jumping off the top of the stadium, which was awesome. He was lit up. He looked like a minion. I'm not sure what
exactly. I said the same thing.
Not exactly sure what they were going for. It was cool, but I don't know what the theme was there. But amazing game. Last 5 minutes, like, a lot of people poured out because it had been raining for the entire third period. It was, like, raining in the beginning, but then as the game sort of, like, died down, and then it was just, like, it was honestly pretty crappy weather, and I was freezing, but...
I was going to ask you about that. Like, was it, like, bad, or was it, like, tolerable?
Up until the third period, it was completely fine. Like, I was, like, a little cold, but then it started, like, raining heavily, and we were just soaked by, like, halfway through. So a lot of people sort of ducked out. It was 3-1 at that point, too, and, like, be very honest, did not look like the Flyers were making any sort of play there. But last 5 minutes, everyone was standing up. You could just, like, feel, like, momentum shift and just, like, a crazy, crazy end of the game.
It was insane.
Scoring, like, tying it up, like, under 20 seconds. It was just nuts, honestly. It was a great, like, one of the best games I've ever been to. And obviously, it's like the first outdoor game I'd been to. I didn't go to the other Stadium Series game. So, amazing, amazing night.
Truly. Yeah, and just from the looks of it on TV, like, they did a great job of just, like, the set. Like, how was the setup, like, watching it? Like,
I like, we had a really good view where we sat. Like, we were in, like, section 111, I think. So, like, we could see, like, the opposite net farthest on, like, where, like, the other end zone would be. We could see that really well. The net closest to us is, like, a little difficult. But, I mean, the link, like, has those huge, like,
boards
that go across. Like, you could see on there what was happening more clearly. Setup was great. Like, it was cool. We were actually behind the where the concert was, like, in between intermissions. There was two concerts. Keith Urban was
random.
We ducked out because we wanted to try and find a hat, which shame on them because all the Flyer stuff was sold out, like, pretty much immediately.
Awesome.
They should have ordered, like, four times what they had, because really all they had was Penguin stuff, and it's like, who's really doing that? But yeah, the guy came with a bullhorn and said that we had to stand because we were gonna, like, they were gonna show it on TV, I guess, and that we could potentially, like, be on TV, so that they needed it to look like people were pumped for Keith Urban. I can tell you, people were not pumped for Keith Urban.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A lot of negative.
I had no idea what Keith Urban looked like. And then I saw him, I was like, that's not what I thought Keith Urban was going to look like. And then they had another band play in the second intermission. Glorious Sons.
Glorious Sons.
They were actually pretty good. Yeah. I kind of like them. They had a good... They fit what I think the hockey demographic would like.
They're from Canada, and they're actually going on tour with the Struts now, so that's pretty cool.
I thought they were pretty good, personally.
Yeah,
but
I listened to a couple of their songs like when I found out they were doing that concert. Yeah. I was like, yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at Xfinity Live with Brooke and Alex from the Daily Puck, and obviously from Underground Sports, too, and... Xfinity was insane.
It was nuts. Like when we showed up, it was
packed.
I've never seen like just that many people just like milling around. Yeah. It took forever to get into the link, by the way. It probably took like I went to meet my brother and his fiance they were at one of their friends' houses, and we ended up taking the subway over.
Okay.
And we got there. We probably showed up in line at like 7:15. We didn't get in until like 7:50. Like we got to our seats, literally perfect timing as the lights went off and like the beginning stage. They have the teams walk out and the legends. Yeah. Awesome choices for the legends.
Like
Jimmy Rollins, Bobby and Toby was great. People, big fans of obviously. Bobby Clark was there for the Flyers.
Jason Kelsey for
and
the
Jason Kelsey, who pumped the crowd up, lifted. I don't know who like the in stadium, they have like the in stadium guy who does the promo stuff and talks with fans. He was talking to Boban, and Jason Kelsey picks him up
so that he
can be on Boban's level. Because I mean, the guy's just an average person. He's probably like 5'10", Boban's 7'3", so Kelsey picks him up so the camera can get both of them in frame.
That's amazing.
People love that. Doug Peterson dropped the puck, which was cool. Jeremy Roenick was like going up through the stands, doing stuff. Yeah, it was a stadium atmosphere. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
Gritty went streaking,
people loved. That was a great moment.
Have you seen the Twitter account where they've put music, like just different songs over top of Gritty streaking?
I saw the Titanic music, as always,
God,
is a classic. Yeah, it was great. I mean, well worth the time. And I would definitely, like, next time there's a stadium series, that is definitely on my list.
Yeah, I was glad I was just like in the city for it.
It was
just great vibes, like the outdoor little carnival type thing that they had was really cool.
You got to go to the pregame stuff.
That was really cool. And like I think it was a little more hectic than usual too, because there was a matinee Sixers game.
Yeah,
so people were kind of just like carried over from that too. But as soon as like the Sixers crowd left, it died down a little bit, and then you had a little bit more room to breathe. And I just think overall they did a really good job of just putting it all together, and should just have it there every year.
Honestly, I think even with how the Flyers season has been, now obviously like lately they've been playing better, but you know, like this isn't a great team by any stretch. And even the Penguins, this isn't like the greatest iteration that they've had. Fully packed. Everyone was going everyone was really going crazy, especially near the end. A lot of like passionate support like inside the building. So you also had the awesome Come Home Harper sign that got unfurled late in the game. It was definitely a cool experience. A little more Penguins fans than I was like comfortable with, but rest assured, people around me let them know what they thought of the Penguins. It was great because we had pretty much two rows in front of us of Penguins fans.
Nice.
They weren't being like
typical Penguins fans.
Yeah, they were like generally pretty reserved. The only thing that like was annoying was, if you've ever been to a Flyers game, you know when like they announce the lineups after every opposition player, they yell sucks at the end. And it's awesome. Everyone loves it. And obviously for the Penguins in the link, it's going to be very loud and very aggressive. And Crosby got like, as you can imagine, a terrible reception. And he just like lifts three fingers in the air and is like dancing around. And I was like, okay, pal.
This guy.
With his marmot jacket. Yeah, bro. Sick. There was a few obscenities thrown at some Penguins fans. A lot of like bankrupt chants and stuff. My brother coined, I don't know if he coined this actually, I shouldn't say, but was calling them all mayo boys saying that they all just want to eat mayonnaise. He was a trip to have around. So
just his Snapchat vlogs alone were well worth it. And it was one hell of a send off for Wayne Simmons, because the last time
fight.
we were on here, Wayne Simmons was still a Flyer. Now he's in Nashville.
Yeah.
Kicked some people's asses.
Gave it to Malkin, who would very deserved, because Malkin obviously took that swing last time we played and said, oh, I didn't even hit him. Yeah. Well, he got his due.
Got the helmet after the game in a very awesome kind of passing around of it. And it kind of just showed, like, the teammate that he was amongst the guys. Like, they really genuinely loved Wayne Simmons, and obviously still will, even though he's in Nashville. But it's one of those just, like, emotional trades that kind of happens, kind of similar to, you know, the Phillies when Rollins and Utley got traded, in a sense, and all those guys. So
signals. Again, I think we said this last time. It's a little bit of the end of an era where it's, like, Simmons, I think, had a real identity. Yeah, had a real identity with this team. So, obviously, bummer. But I think for him to go out on a game like that and the performance, pretty amazing, personally.
And he gets to go to Nashville, play with Lavi again.
Yeah.
Maybe win a cup.
Yeah. Subban, too. Like, apparently, they were boys as well. He was happy to have him back. So. And Subban seems like just, like, the greatest human being.
He's awesome. So, we're definitely rooting for Wayne Simmons. To hopefully get that cup. And the other farewell we had was today, as Howie Roseman announced Nick Foles will become an unrestricted free agent.
What's that saying? If you love something, let it free.
Yeah. They're not going to hit him with the tag and try to trade him. They're just going to let him find his next team on his own. Hell, I mean, Nick Foles is a big reason why this whole podcast got started. So we're forever indebted to Nick Foles. Nothing more to say than just thank you to him, because brings the first Super Bowl here, takes us on another miraculous run this past season, just to see his career kind of just come full circle from being drafted by the Eagles to getting traded in the whole Chip Kelly blow the team up saga, to then coming back after almost retiring to being a Super Bowl MVP, beating Tom Brady to kind of bring the Eagles losing to the Patriots saga to an end. Just one of the better human beings to come through this city as an athlete, and he's gonna be missed, but you know, it's time, and Carson Wentz is the guy for this team, and I think Nick Foles knows that. I think this front office knows that, but Nick Foles will always be an icon in the city of Philadelphia. He's got a statue, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he's quite the arc too, you know, honestly.
So just thank you to Nicky Six, and we'll probably see him in Jacksonville, more than likely.
Oh, man.
At
least he'll get good weather year-round.
Yeah.
Can't promise that you're going to get a Super Bowl there, unfortunately.
At least it's not the Giants, because they came out and said that they think Eli Manning has years left.
He does, I think they're right in that assessment.
Totally fine.
I think he has at least five.
I'm down for it. Let him play like Brady till he's 45. Yeah.
Why not? I think he's on the TB12 system now. But I think that's he eats total butter in a day, 12 sticks.
T-bones.
Yeah.
So that's always promising to see, is that the Giants still have no idea what they're doing. Also, since the last time we were on here, speaking of the Patriots, Robert Kraft has gotten in some heat.
Yeah. Now involved in a sex trafficking sting, because he was visiting a massage parlor, which had you could go in and get services. You can imagine what kind of services you could get there. But apparently, you know, unfortunately, the women at this place had been trafficked to America, obviously illegally, and had been sort of held here. Usually, like, they take their passport or something, or visa, whatever it is you have, so that you don't really have identification. You can't leave. So that's, like, obviously, from a human and, like, law level, it's, like, really awful situation. And then I don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, obviously, I don't think he'll see jail time, just because, you know, our legal system with billionaires, it doesn't exactly work. don't know how that's going to pan out. But it raises questions about his position with the Patriots.
Definitely.
Certainly.
And we always know the NFL has their own way of handling things.
It's like the the South Park riff on Family Guy from a few years ago, where it's just manatees in a pool with balls, and the manatees just pick different balls and they make a sentence, and that's the joke. It's the same way with punishment for them.
Yep.
They just go pick a ball out. We'll see what he has to do. I think genuinely, though, there's like potential that, you know, he could have to step. I mean, this is like a big deal. Like,
yeah,
you're talking about,
this is huge.
Again, Robert Kraft is probably the most famous owner besides Jerry Jones. Like, they're,
yeah,
those
he's
guys
definitely
are
in the top three.
Those guys are definitely like the most recognizable. Mm-hmm. I'd say Jerry Jones is without a doubt, just because he can't shut up and he can't get out of his own way. But Robert Kraft is certainly up there, and he's someone who's publicly feuded with like the league itself over the past few years. Obviously, we know from Deflategate that there was a whole issue, and mm-hmm. he kind of bowed out from that. He didn't really,
and he's been involved on, you know, legal sides of things when it comes to Meek Mill, of all people.
Yeah, it was strangely he's such an interesting person because
he's sitting courtside at Sixers games. With
he was also
Ruben,
the All-Star and break dancing with Cardi B,
yeah.
Like just going. Strange guy, and especially when you consider that he's in his like late 70s. He's like, what, 78?
Who also has a 39-year-old like girlfriend. His wife just died like not that long ago.
Yeah, his wife died recently, so I don't know what it is with his motivations and what, but someone needs to get into his ear like, you're not.
Maybe it's Meek
30.
Mill.
I don't think it's Meek Mill. I don't think Meek Mill's advising
does
him
Meek
to.
Does Meek Mill go visit Robert Kraft in jail now? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't think so. I just wonder what the league will have to say about this, because, I mean, it's an interesting situation.
We've never
situation
seen anything kind of like this in
anything
sports-related, really.
Personally can't think of a single situation where you've seen something like this. I'm sure it's happened, but...
Yeah. Just, not on this magnitude.
No, so certainly not like the owner of the team that just happens to have been, you know, one of the best teams for the past two decades.
One of the, you know, richest franchises in sports.
Yeah. And I mean, he owns like every New England area team besides like the Red Sox, of course. Like he owns like the Revolution, the MLS team. Like he's very involved in like Boston area sports.
He helped bring the Premier Lacrosse League this summer to Gillette Stadium, so... There's a lot
don't know
that he's involved with, and we'll see how this kind of unfolds. But it was also interesting to see that Adam Schefter, when it broke, said that he's not the biggest name involved.
Yeah, I don't know what he means.
I don't
by
know
that.
What to take from that. A lot of people said Jerry Jones. Some people said Donald Trump.
Yeah, could you imagine this is what brings Trump down? His massage parlor tomfoolery.
That
I
was the
know.
First thing that like popped in my mind, just because he's always flying to Florida.
Listen. Don't speculate, of course, but who really knows,
right.
Honestly. I don't know if we'll ever even see that list, truthfully.
Yeah.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I feel like this news story has already died down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The only like places you see it is where...
TMZ.
Because like,
they're trying to get the video, because apparently a video exists.
Yeah, I don't know that video needs to be released.
No.
I don't think that needs to see the light of day for like multiple reasons.
Yeah.
I think it's better that doesn't become...
I think
any
it just
sort of
needs to stay
mode.
In the hands of the, you know, police. And
yeah,
let
they
it be
can
there.
Handle that. I don't want that
yeah.
out in the universe
no,
personally,
because that will live on Twitter forever.
Yeah, and also too, like you have to remember, like there's victims in this.
Right.
And again, like at the end of the day,
legitimate
like,
victims.
Yeah, like people that have had their lives ruined, who thought they were coming to America to get
an actual
success
career
and you know get out of a
poverty-stricken area.
Or, you know, just a better life,
yeah.
and they've been stuck here, and you don't exactly want to put a video of them doing whatever it
right.
is they're doing with Robert Kraft on the internet, so. Crazy world, man, honestly. Definitely one of the 2019, just...
Leave it to the Patriots, baby.
Continuing on with the legacy of... Crazy, like it really does feel like that South Park thing you were, which just feels like
it's
news
like
stories
simulation.
Now are just those manatees just picking balls out of a list. It's like Robert Kraft prostitution ring, go. Like
it's like Mad Libs.
It really, it's
John Heyman tweets.
It's really, oh Jesus Christ. You want to talk about living in a simulation? It feels like Groundhog Day with John Heyman.
Yep.
Every day is the same stuff. I'm so sick of seeing that Bitmoji.
We'll get to him in a second, but got a lot of Sixer stuff to talk about, because last time we talked, Boban was not injured. He was at the stadium series.
I told you all that we were going to get blown up by the Trailblazers.
that we did. Squeak by, you know.
Yeah.
The by a hair line. All Anthony Davis puns intended. against the Pelicans. Somehow we win that game.
Not sure how.
And Boban now going to be reevaluated in essentially a week.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Ricky today, and they brought up a good point. You know, remember Robert Covington had a bruised knee or whatever the injury is, and he hasn't played in like 2 months. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Embiid is still going to be out against Oklahoma City, like we said, and he'll be reevaluated before the Warriors game. Just let him rest. Like,
yeah. Even with Embiid, I think Thunder and Warriors are two tough outfits to begin with. You know, we didn't really talk about this. Jonah Bolden getting the start against New Orleans, that's a that was positive.
If he doesn't get in foul trouble, it's a quality game from Jonah Bolden.
Yeah, and Justin Patton called up. I'm assuming that means that he's game ready. I don't exactly know. I haven't seen anything about his like actual health because again he was he came injured. But he was
playing in Delaware though. Yeah. I know that.
So I'm assuming that means that we could see Justin Patton against the Thunder. For the Sixers right now, it's like I think just staying healthy. I thought Toby had a great game against New Orleans. He really balled out. It's sort of like when we got Jimmy those like first like 2 or 3 weeks where we won some games and you could really put it down to Jimmy Butler. I think some of our recent success, especially with Embiid out, you have to give like a lot of that to Tobias and how he's played. I think he's been really, really good.
He had like the most quiet 29-point game.
Yeah, he went 29-10-3.
Yeah.
That's amazing. 7 of 8 from the line. You know, he didn't have the greatest 3-point shooting night, but yeah, I think he's a real bright spot on this team. I'm really like warming up to the idea of, you know, re-signing him for big money.
Mm-hmm.
I was like hesitant when we first traded for him. I still kind of am, but
he fits this team really well.
Yeah, I like his fit has been truthfully very, very amazing. I honestly love him too.
Yeah,
I think he seems like honestly
he's a good personality.
Yeah, like great character guy. Seems like he fits with the locker room well. Seems like he's just, you know, like you said, he's a great personality. He's going to...
He just seems like he's having a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
He's never been on really a winning team. He's never had, like, even really much playoff experience. So because
he
was
with Detroit and the Clippers were his only teams? Or
The Magic as well.
Okay.
Yeah, the Magic, crazy old team where, like, they could have had, like, a lot of these budding young stars all on the same team. But ended up trading with, like, they had Oladipo and Tobias Harris at a time with Vucevic.
Alfred Payton.
Yeah, I mean, just, well.
Not that, he's great, but, like, it's a role piece that was.
Yeah, the Magic had, like, a lot of really good role pieces, but just never developed them. That's why I said with the Magic, as long as Fultz is there, he won't be good. But if they trade him away, that's when you get worried.
When it comes to a couple things I noticed, did you watch the Pelicans game at all?
Caught like bits and pieces because
did you see when JJ missed his 2 free throws?
Yes,
when he was kind of just like talking to himself.
Yeah, I think that's just weird JJ stuff.
It's like
I think that's just because JJ is like kind of like a psychopath. I think to be at his age and to like have like the just sort of OCD about his game, like you do have to be a little bit off.
Because it was like he missed the one. And then he's, like, yelling at himself, like, kind of just like, come on, you idiot, like, make it. And then he misses again.
Yeah.
And
I think he's just a little crazy. Not a bad way. Not a bad way. I just mean, like, I think JJ is just, I think he's a little OCD. I think he's a little perfectionist. And honestly, let's be honest, you have to be that. Like, there's all these stories about Ray Allen and that his teammates didn't really like him and that he was sort of a loner. But that's just, A, how he grew up. And B, like, I think guys like JJ and Ray Allen, although I think Ray Allen's the better shooter, I'm not comparing them in terms of talent, but I'm saying like guys like that that dedicate themselves and are able to play like later in their careers and still be really effective players, I think they just, I don't know, I think they just have this unreal drive, and I think you saw a little bit of that at JJ, and I think you see it all year. He's just extremely competitive. Mm-hmm. Every time he like makes a big three, he's like, you know, dancing down back the court like he's like 21. You know? Like he's a youthful player in that sense, and I think he, he's just very, very competitive and just self-critical mm-hmm. too, which I think, again, though, you need to be.
Now, we recall Justin Patton. Obviously, yeah. we don't know his game status, but he's going to travel with the team tomorrow to Oklahoma City. We don't know what the deal is going to be with Boban. Obviously, from all reports, they indicate that he avoided serious injury.
Yeah, which is amazing because it did not look good.
Now, again, I was listening to the Ricky and Mike Levin brought up a point where I don't know if he is. I'll pull it up. But would you potentially buy out Amir and go get a guy, if he is a free agent, like Marcin Gortat?
Gortat would not be bad. You know, here's the issue, like, coming into the stretch. We're going to need, I think we need a different setter than Boban to begin with. I've made this comparison before, but I'll say it again. Boban is just TJ McConnell, except huge. He's not really that great of a player, and he's more of a specialist than anything. And, like, in the playoffs, I don't know how Boban really plays. Right. And I'm talking, like, really second round and on. I think first round series, if we get a team like the Nets, I could see Boban getting time against them, but we're not playing him against Boston. We already saw that experiment. It did not go well. We're not playing him against Toronto. We're not playing him against Milwaukee. Like, he's just not mobile enough to really do that. Obviously, he's a great rebounder, but that's a lot to do with his height. But he's not even that great of a defender because, again, he's just
got cement feet.
He's just not very quick, and that's just nature of his size. You know, it's not like Embiid where he's an absolute freak of nature in terms of being that tall and being able to move quickly. So yeah, like Jonah Bolden was going to be important in that sense anyway, but having someone, Gortat actually, I don't think would be terrible, truth be told. And I think would be better than Amir
right now. So.
Yeah. I think we clearly need that someone. I think it's still a little bit reprehensible that we didn't get one of Wayne Ellington or Wes Matthews on this team. Personally, I think you had to move hell and high water to get at least one of those guys in this roster. You went all in on a lot of these assets to get Tobias and Jimmy, and to not get very clearly needed depth options off the bench. Now, obviously, you know, we did get some, but
Jonathan Simmons
is not good. You have to wonder if it would have just been better to say screw the picks and just get Terrence Ross, because apparently that was the deal, is either Terrence Ross and no picks or Jonathan Simmons, the OKC first and Cleveland's second. So yeah. It almost feels like maybe we should have just said screw the picks.
Because Jonathan Simmons, like, he just runs around the court like he's...
Yeah, this was the worry, because he had picked up some bad habits in Orlando. He became a little unhinged when he left San Antonio. He was, like, shooting the ball much more than he should have for not being a very good shooter. And even defensively, not quite the stalwart. He wasn't even a stalwart, let's be honest. Yeah. Not quite the defensive player that he showed flashes of being. So, yeah, I mean, you're really just relying on, like, Ennis.
Who hasn't even been that great either.
Yeah, so...
so again, we need bodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amir's begging for playing time with the Bluecoats.
The buyout market just did not go the way that we planned, clearly. And I don't know who exactly you blame that on.
Now, I also don't know, because he's injured, are you allowed to buy out / cut injured players in the NBA? Because if that's the case, like, Furkan's not going to be back next year.
Honestly don't know off the top of my head what the ruling on that is.
Because if that's the case, I would just
kind
of release Furkan, but also, like, still allow him to get medical treatment or whatever for rehab and go get Gortat and figure something out.
Yeah, I think we still need probably a wing player and a little more versatile center. Just someone... Not Boban, really.
Yeah.
Boban will see us through. Hopefully, if he comes back healthy, he'll see us through this regular season. But not someone, you know, in the depths of the playoffs that's going to help us much. If we lose in the playoffs this year, I think it's really going to be down to depth, which is kind of what the issue was last year as well. You look at the top teams in the East; they have good starting fives, obviously, but have, you know, positions 6 through 8/9 are just really, really strong, and we don't really have that right now, and we honestly haven't. Even with Ersan and Bellinelli, they were good, but not even, you know, I don't think quite on the level that some of the players that other teams in the East have now. So, you know, something that we clearly desperately need to address.
Yeah, and if Gortat's out there, he's more athletic than Amir and Boban, I think, combined.
I'll say this too, Gortat's a little bit of an asshole, which you need. We don't really, like, we have, like, guys like that, but I don't think we have, we don't have, like, a dark arts guy. You know, you need someone that's gonna, like...
He's kind of just living under a rock and not doing anything, and that's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Well, we saw Gortat last year, I remember, had against Embiid, he had some moments. So, you know, I think someone like that could be useful for us. We know he was, you know, obviously part of the Wizards who kind of notoriously feuded with the Celtics. They wore the all-black suits because it was going to be a funeral, whatever. So I'm sure he'd love...
And he played with Bobby and Toby in L.A.
That's true. So I'm sure he would love the opportunity to... eventually come back and stick it to the Celtics again, but
that would be fun.
Yeah, that's if the Celtics make the playoffs. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They might crash
on
the
hot seat.
A little worried.
Around the league news, hot seat: Celtics, Lakers.
Celtics are going to be fine. Personally, I think Lakers are in trouble.
You just hate to see it.
Stupid situation. Just absolute stupidity.
It's beautiful though, and then you have LeBron joking and laughing in practice today with
the only
other clown on the team, aka Rajon Rondo.
I think he was working on his act because after practice, actually, he went to go shoot for Space Jam 2. But don't worry, he's fully focused on basketball, and 100%. No one else is. Only real hoopers know. But yeah, like I think
assist,
it was just practicing. He was so clearly acting. Like I refuse to believe LeBron James when his team is on the cusp of missing the playoffs, which, by the way,
in how long?
He hasn't missed the playoffs, I think, in like over a decade at this point. Like, I have to imagine the last time was like somewhere around like 05, 06. That he's like joking around like that. Like, what? And it was just so weirdly forced, man. He's just such a strange guy sometimes. Like, I love LeBron, but he's also like has like just these weird hinges on his character that's like, why are you like this? I don't know. I honestly think the last time he
I think 06 was
the first year that he got in.
Year,
so it, 05
he hasn't missed since.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I still
the Lakers are a hilarious situation.
I still say it right now. I think it was a blessing in disguise that LeBron didn't come here because we could have potentially been dealing with this nonsense.
Yes and no. I think if LeBron's on this team, we're probably right near the top of the, like, we're probably in Boston and Toronto's like atmosphere of we're pushing for upper 50, you know, lower 60 win totals. But yeah, I mean the extra that he brings in terms of speculation would obviously not be great, and you would have to wonder what would happen with Brett. But, I mean, it's all guesswork. But his track record shows that there's usually a very uncertain period, even when the team is performing, you know, at a good level. You know, like Heat's first season, like Spoelstra was legitimately, you know, on the hot seat. And now, you know, he's widely respected coach and ended up figuring it out. Whereas in Cleveland, David Blatt's gone.
Tyronn Lue's gone.
David Blatt got a tough stick, though, because when he was hired, it was not with the focus of having to coach LeBron and make this a finals contender. It was like developing young guys, and we're still like a terrible team, and we're trying to just get out of this hole. So, yeah, I mean, God bless LeBron, I guess. Good luck. Good luck figuring this out. call up Bryce Harper. Let him know what happens when you snub Philly to go to a Cali team.
Should we dive into that?
Let's do it, dude. Let's just...
So, apparently there's more, it's like Shrek, there's layers. Apparently, the San Francisco Giants had another meeting with Bryce Harper and Scott Boras yesterday. Apparently, the Dodgers have had a meeting with Bryce Harper and Scott Boras since the last time we did a podcast. And it just seems more and more likely that we're going to swing and miss on both the quote-unquote stupid money free agents. I was still confident up until today today is kind of when I started going on the downswing a little bit. I still am holding out hope, just for our initial kind of comparison to, you know, these other teams are getting meetings. LeBron and his team gave other teams meetings, still ended up going to the Lakers. You know, Boris and Bryce are giving these other teams meetings. He could still end up coming to the Phillies. But I am growing increasingly concerned that John Middleton and Matt Klentak just couldn't close a deal and are being way too stubborn and worried about winning a negotiation rather than getting one of the top players in the sport right now to Philadelphia to complete this team.
We said quite some time ago now, and I literally mean that because it's been months, that if we don't land one of these guys, and it's because of money, that
that's a problem.
There's going to be a large issue. Because this, I think the expectations were set very high because of the stupid money comment, which I think was, in hindsight, a really stupid thing to say. Because not only are you in the fans' mind now thinking, oh, wow, like, we were legitimately thinking, and I don't think we were wrong in believing this, that Harper and Machado both could be in play. If we're talking about stupid money, why not? Not only do you raise the fans' expectations, but what are you saying from a negotiation standpoint now? Because you just essentially handed Boris like a silver platter. It's like, load up whatever you want on this. It's carte blanche. We're going to spend stupid money on you. And it's like, okay, how high are you going to go and how long? So the hang up now is like this 3-year opt out, right? That's like the big
issue.
That
was the report yesterday from, of all people, Angelo Cataldi. I didn't want to believe it at first, but as much as I can't stand Rhea Hughes, she's also a no nonsense type of person.
Yeah.
And she said that if she didn't know who Angelo's alleged source was, she wouldn't have read it on the radio. So I have cause to believe that his source was legit, as weird as that is to say. And granted, you also have to remember before Angelo got into this, you know,
the
early morning
take
radio
machine
shtick that he has, he was a reporter. Like, yeah, he was an investigative reporter. He was a sports journalist for a multitude of different publications. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but me personally, I kind of believe what he had to say, because more reporters came out and said the same thing yesterday and have continued to say it too.
But I wonder if this is almost a case too with the John Middleton going to Vegas thing, where it's someone local gets the scoop, national guys have no clue, then they just kind of pile on with very vague tweets. Like, that's been the biggest story out of all of this, is you have John Heyman recycling tweets every single day.
Mad Libs.
Literally every tweet from him is just a repurposed tweet for, like, God bless him for reduce, reusing, and recycling, because, like, he's trying to go
I was
green,
shocked,
I guess,
that he broke his radio silence, too, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he went on and did an interview, didn't he?
On Marks and Reese late last week, where before, you know, numerous radio hosts would try to get him on, and he would deny because he didn't want to come on the air in Philly. But he actually had some, like, well-thought-out things that he said on the radio as compared to what you read in his tweets, so I was encouraged by that. Essentially, he continues to say all these teams are included because he's gotten no indication that anyone's really out, and he doesn't want to declare somebody out when they're not.
Fair enough.
So take that for what it's worth, and I preface that whenever I send a Heyman tweet to anybody right now. But yeah, he has been literally just saying the same thing in different ways for weeks now.
Months,
really.
It's been months.
But if this is all over an opt-out, again, it's similar to the money situation. Like, it's dumb. Get him in here for 3 years. And according to Angelo, it's just one opt-out. It's an opt-out after 3 years. If he doesn't opt out, he's in here for the full 10.
And it's the opt out after Mike Trout's year. So, like, the idea is that if someone misses on Mike Trout, he could be like the
next,
you know,
in line,
second place prize.
And it's also interesting too, because it's one, he would hit the free agent market again before he turns 30, and 2021 is the potential lockout year. So if the CBA gets re-bargained and everything,
maybe he gets a sweeter deal,
player-friendly type deal. Whether that's, you know, from incentives or just, you know, milestones that he has to hit. And then the Colorado Rockies threw a wrench in this whole game yesterday when they signed Nolan Arenado to his 8-year extension.
Yeah, thanks, Colorado.
For the highest AAV in league history.
Yeah, thanks.
So
really nice of you.
Here's Scott Boras just sitting back laughing.
I thought we were baseball friends.
So that threw another wrench in it. So now not only do you have to beat Machado, not only do you have to beat Giancarlo Stanton, you now have to beat the AAV of Nolan Arenado's contract, because that was a guy that everybody thought was going to hit the free agent market next year.
Yeah.
And now he's off the board, and he was the top free agent on the board next year. So all the teams that were going to be on him, the Yankees, probably the Phillies, maybe the Red Sox, all the big-name players, even the Dodgers, were looking at Nolan Arenado thinking, hey, maybe we can go get him. He's a better player than Manny Machado.
Which would also coincide with Dodgers sort of, it seems, at least revamping their interest in Bryce Harper to a different level than what it was before we got the Arenado news. I will say this. I still think Philadelphia makes the most sense for Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. Like, just genuinely trying to look at it as objectively as possible, I still think we make the most sense. Dodgers are a really interesting position for him, because they did clear, like, we kind of forget already because we kind of counted them out. Yeah. Now that they're back in, they did clear out.
They traded Puig. They traded Kemp. They traded Alex Wood, which we were worried about. Still, if they were to go on a short-term contract, which up until like a few hours ago was the only thing that we've heard, and then somebody said, I think it was Henry Schulman from the San Francisco Chronicle, said that the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Phillies have all offered 10-year deals, which scares me a little bit. But then somebody came out and said that the Dodgers have only offered a short-term deal, and they're going back in on a more increased short-term deal. But that also doesn't make sense, because this whole thing for the Dodgers was to clear out of the luxury tax. Yeah. And if they sign Harper to a high AAV short-term deal, they're going to go well over that luxury tax, and their tax won't reset. And that's what they're trying to do. The Giants, like we've said for months, don't make sense because, one, they're a rebuilding franchise. Sure, they still have the talent that helped them win 3 World Series this decade and everything, but, one, Buster Posey's not the same guy he was. He's the face of your franchise along with Madison Bumgarner, who could get traded this year. You know, he's on the final year of his deal. You're going to either have to pay him or move him. So that's money that you could allocate to Madison Bumgarner rather than Bryce Harper. You still have all these older players. You still have Pablo Sandoval on your team, for God's sake, in his second stint with the Giants. They're not going to win anytime soon. You know, we've talked about that. They're rebuilding, like we said. I forget who it was, but they did a win total before and after with Bryce Harper like a month ago almost, and it only gave them 4 extra wins, and they were still under 500.
Yeah.
You go to San Francisco, your home run and power numbers are going to die.
I think the only team that's left between, you know, those three, allegedly, as long as there's no mystery team, is honestly the Dodgers, just because it is a team that could compete now. In fact, you'd probably say they would be the better option if you're talking about competitiveness, and especially based on really this entire decade, they've been the better team. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should not be outbid. I feel like we have been led on to believe that we are willing to throw stupid money. Mm-hmm. And when I say led on, I mean we are expressly told that we're going to spend stupid money. And if we don't, if we miss out on Harper and Machado because they think there's a better place for them somewhere else, I think Klentak still failed, because you should be able to convince guys that this is a place to be. But whatever. Like, you can't convince everyone all the time. The fact that we already lost Machado because of valuation sucks. If we also lose Harper because of valuation, that also sucks. And I don't know how you reconcile that, truthfully.
Yeah, you can't.
And then the report was out today, too, that maybe that we wouldn't be in for Keuchel.
Which doesn't surprise me, because, again, he's a Boras guy.
Yeah.
I don't want Kimbrel either. He's a guy that is on the decline.
Yeah.
He can only pitch in the ninth inning. And quite frankly, I think the bullpen's set the way it is. I would rather not
put we need a starter. Kimbrel. We don't really need a
and I'd rather go get like a Gio Gonzalez, who will be cheaper. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
And he's pitched in the NL East for the majority of his career.
I think at this point, personally, I still see Bryce in Philly, just because I think we still make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I think we still positionally can offer him starting position. He would still be like the star here, definitely. But it wouldn't be all Bryce. You know, like he would have the opportunity, obviously, like if you're talking about like the brand of Bryce Harper, which I think is very strong. Mm-hmm. He's probably the most famous baseball player. He's the most
recognizable baseball player. Sure, Mike Trout's the best player in the game, but you put a picture of Mike Trout and Bryce Harper up on the board.
Who would you say are the five best baseball players right now?
Mike Trout.
Yeah.
No particular order. Bryce Harper. Mookie Betts. I'd probably throw Clayton Kershaw in there potentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could throw Manny Machado in there if you wanted to, just for the sake of argument. Those are probably the five most recognizable names.
If those dudes walk into your like restaurant, you probably only recognize like the average person would probably like average sports fan probably only recognize Bryce Harper. Like that'd be the first person like oh Mike that's Trout's Bryce around Harper. They'd be like, oh that's Bryce Harper. Oh that's Mike Trout. Like
Mike Trout's around here and half the time people don't even recognize him.
Because he blends in.
Yeah.
Because he wears the camo hoodie. Exactly. The only reason Mike Trout doesn't blend in is because he drives like a Corvette Stingray. But yeah, I mean I don't know. I just
and on
think,
top of that too, you made the move to go get JT Realmuto, which I'm still totally on board with. Like, I think it was a great move. He's a catcher that's in his prime that you realistically only have for 2 years right now. Sure, he can sign an extension and everything, but under contract right now, you have JT Realmuto for 2 years. You don't make a trade to, one, give up your number one prospect on paper, Sixto Sanchez, and a young catching, you know, piece that you have in Jorge Alfaro to go get the best catcher in baseball for, you know, maybe the next 3 to 4 years of his prime if you sign him to an extension, if you're not going to go get Bryce Harper. You don't sign Andrew McCutchen to the deal you signed him to if you're not going to go get Bryce Harper. You don't sign David Robertson to be, you know, a back end of the bullpen guy for you if you're not going to go get Bryce Harper. You don't make the trade for Gene Segura.
Yeah.
If you're not going to go get Bryce Harper.
I think you're right. And I think, again, that's why I'd still think that we have. The problem is now is, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you would say this is someone else. Like, this is Scott Boras trying to drive the price up. This is now no longer trying to get more money out of the Phillies. This genuinely seems like he could go somewhere mm-hmm. else. But I don't know, man. I mean, it's.
I'm likening this situation to kind of when we all freaked out when LeBron allegedly met with the Sixers.
So you're saying like tonight in like four hours, Bryce Harper's going to sign in Philly?
That would be fantastic. Cue the future clip. Sensational. But I think that's what I'm likening.
Knocks over my microphone.
That's what I'm likening this realm of the Harper talks to. Is, you know, he's meeting with these other teams now. And before, like, we didn't know who the other teams were for LeBron. It was all mystery teams. Yeah. And then, boom, Sixers came out. There's another team, too. Right? It might have been the Cavs.
It was like the Sixers, the Cavs. The Rockets were like talked about sort of the mildly. Spurs a little bit. Spurs, I think, was more like a pipe dream. Like, how awesome would it be to have him in San Antonio? I don't know, man. Like, my opinion on it is I'm willing to just, like, lay low and just let it happen. Like, react when whatever happens, whether we sign him or we don't. I think if we don't, I think that's a huge indictment on the organization. And
I think it's there. Like, the people blaming Bryce Harper for all of this, just stop. Like, sure, he has a say in some of this, but right now,
Bryce Harper a little
this, this portion of what's going on is the Phillies. They have the ability to just get it done. And we all know that. They have the money. They have the opportunity to allegedly say, sure, let's do the 3-year opt-out. Just get it done. Like, they have the power in their court to get it done, and they're just sitting on their hands right now for whatever reason.
I mean, Klentak told us if the valuation doesn't meet what they believe, they're willing to walk away.
There's also this theory, too, that the front office wanted Manny Machado all along and didn't think that he was going to hit the $300 million mark. And now they have egg on their face because they weren't going to be willing to go $300 million for Machado. And now it's like $300 million wasn't their realm of stupid money.
Yeah. Which is
stupid.
I think just get it done. Like, really? Honestly, I think at this point to walk away from outside of this entire fiasco has been a good offseason.
Yeah.
We've added two really good players. And McCutchen, a good player.
And David Robertson, a good player.
Like, we've addressed some changes here.
We've done good things. You moved Rhys Hoskins back to first, which makes him a better player.
I think this whole just situation, though, is taking just all the fun out of what should have been a very exciting thing for whatever team ends up with Bryce Harper. That's us, whoever.
For the entire sport.
It feels like whoever ends up with him is, it's going to be like a finally situation and not a we got Bryce Harper situation. Like, if Bryce Harper signs tomorrow, like, I'll be excited, but I'll be like, all right, glad that is over.
Yeah.
That it's going to
be like a stress lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, like, than, that honestly shouldn't be the reaction. No,
it should be a celebrated kind of thing.
Bad for baseball. Bad.
Definitely. And that's why there's going to be a lockout in 2021.
Yeah. I just think it's a bummer that we're in almost March and Bryce Harper's not signed.
And I also love how the Phillies front office, whenever they talk about free agency, they always bring up that Arrieta did not sign until March 17th last year.
Yeah, and then it's almost like having a short offseason led to him injuring himself early into the year and then struggling all year. It's weird how that works.
Imagine that.
It's weird when players like don't get a full offseason of training with the team. And there's the added stress of like moving across the country that, you know, it can be a little difficult to adjust, and you might might get injured. Weird.
Jesus. I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
Just want it to be over.
Just get it done.
One way or the other, I will be a happy man when Bryce Harper is signed somewhere, whether it's with Philly or whatever, just because it means my timeline won't be John Heyman and Bob Nightingale anymore and just nonsense.
I'm just waiting for a Rosenthal or Salisbury tweet to hit the timeline and let it combust and either us be insanely happy and relieved or insanely sad and relieved, because that's what's going to happen one way or another. Shout out to friend of the pod, Cole Irvin. Got verified on Twitter today.
Yeah, and we're only a month away, too, from, right? Like 31 days?
30 days now.
30 days?
March 26th, opening day.
So, yeah. No, yeah. 30 days.
If my math is right.
I think. I don't know. I think it's 29.
Don's the math guy.
Whatever. I mean, because...
Play the Braves.
It's right there,
three baby. Games opening
so,
the end of March, so...
Either way, Baseball's almost back, which is fun.
Which is very exciting, which means fantasy baseball's almost back for me, and I get to defend my title.
Cole Irvin. Subtle flex. Like it.
Cole Irvin got verified on Twitter today, so
yes.
Shout out to Cole. Potentially big name profile guest coming on the show soon enough. If you missed it on Twitter, we're setting it up with the one and only Judah and the Lion. To be guests on the podcast. Very excited for that. And speaking of musical guests, a few of us will be on Saturday night, no pun intended, with their song from their album Rally Cry. Our friends the Arkells will be in town at Underground Arts, so we're going to head out there and go to their show. No podcast with them this time, just because of short notice, but definitely just going to go enjoy watching them put on a show at one of the cooler venues in Philadelphia. So if you're in the area, if you're going to the show, let us know. We'll meet up with you and all that good stuff.
I will be at my niece and nephew's birthday party.
Living the dream.
There's going to be a magician, I'm told.
Maybe he'll make Bryce Harper come out of a hat.
And face painting. And I am going to really enjoy myself, I think.
I'm about it.
Yeah.
So, stay tuned for the Judah and the Lion podcast. Not sure when it's happening, but it will be happening. So shout out to those guys. Their new album's dropping in May. So maybe we'll get some Judah and the Lion music on the podcast as well. Arkell Saturday night, we'll have a podcast on Saturday afternoon, as always. And we'll have another lacrosse podcast coming to you Friday. And then another draft podcast. The new goal line podcast dropped this afternoon. And no Wings this week again. They're on the bye. But they are back next Friday, March 8th. They'll be back at home. So me, Brooke, and Alex will be at the Wells Fargo Center next Friday for that. And some other big announcements looming, but you might have caught on already if you follow us on Twitter, at UndergroundPHI, who we're tweeting at and who we're following and all that good stuff. So stay tuned for the big stuff. But make sure you're subscribed to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Hit those 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Helps us get on the top 200 chart, and the sports and recreation page goes a long way. We want to hit that chart at some point in 2019, and we're about to hit month number 3 of 2019, so make it happen. You guys are crazy with the SoundCloud plays just through the roof the past 2 months to start off 2019, so very much appreciated. Over 2,000 for each month so far, with January and February, which is insane that people want to listen to some guys from Vineland shoot the shit about sports and the Philly sports scene. So can't thank you guys enough, and can't thank our sponsors enough: Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for sponsoring each and every show. That's going to do it for this edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 110. For Matt, I'm Kyle. We'll catch you guys again live on Saturday. Peace.
Go Sixers!